Zer Empresario magazine presents The Middle Classes and the Vote of Punishment, The Hard Vote, An Alternative Opinion, by Carlos O. Silva Bandola. The punishment vote or protest vote corresponds to that which in democratic elections is denied to the previously supported party or candidate, in order to punish them for their mismanagement. It is one of the most important electoral effects that forces the contenders to evaluate, analyze and project it according to the circumstances that are estimated to occur due to poor government management, which also affect other factors: authoritarianism, corruption, impunity, despotism. In other words, it is a historical political trial and no one escapes from it. The well-argued punishment vote can serve to create a great movement and mobilization. The citizen collectives whose motivation is it is time to change. Today we see how, given the disappointing campaign of Xochitl Galvez, insubstantial, the PAN, PRI and PRD opportunistically play to catch those votes. Marco Cortés, Alejandro Moreno and Jesús Zambrano de Huancalolo. After all, they have secured their seat in the Congress. However, Xochitl Galvez, who risks his entire political career, including his personal safety, will be left with nothing. An absurdity in the political system of parties, illogical to say the least. CDMX and eight state governments will compete in elections on June 2nd, for the presidency of the Republic and in the states of Chiapas, Guanajuato, Tabasco, Morelos, Puebla, Jalisco, Veracruz and Yucatan. In 2018, AMLO's presidential candidacy was decisive, due to its political nature, in the victory in six of them, but the vote of punishment for mismanagement was also concomitant. This is explainable since in Guanajuato, Jalisco and Yucatan the current did not help López Obrador to overthrow them. Somehow the citizens were satisfied with the rulers of those three states. We have already analyzed the causes and circumstances that led Morena to have red lights in Veracruz and Morelos, two federal entities in which AMLO's leadership as presidential candidate was decisive for Cuitláhuac García and Cuauhtémoc Blanco to be elected governors. It is irrational to consider that the election or elections in question, in 2018, are similar to 2024. AMLO's leadership is very different, wherever one can or wants to see it, from that of Claudia Sheinbaum. So is it possible that Claudia Sheinbaum's presidential candidacy will pull in favor of the other Morena candidates in the states of change of governor? It doesn't seem like it could be like that. That is, either they scratch it with their own nails and show that they have leadership, or the surprises can be surprising. The punishment vote is keeping them up at night. Without owing it or fearing it, Claudia Sheinbaum will receive punishing votes from millions of middle-class people who confront President AMLO's style and way of governing. In 2021, after the first half of the presidential term, the elections for federal deputies and for the 16 mayor's offices of CDMX were held. To focus on the issue, Morena AMLO Sheinbaum lost the qualified majority in the Chamber of Deputies and 9 of the 16 mayor's offices. These electoral results made President AMLO uncomfortable, to such a degree that he blamed the middle classes and stigmatized them as aspirationists, who have an attitude in which they are reduced to a position of privilege. The middle, upper, wealthy, and poor classes have always existed. If we take a look at history from La Colonia to the present day, we can see that this class division is there and will continue. There is no single class in any country. It is a socio-economic division per se, republic, state organization whose highest authority is elected by the citizens. In a republic, sovereignty is popular, that is, it is the people who elect their rulers and they must be at the equal service of all. Although, in the ideals of President AMLO the poor first, it is inappropriate for his mandate not to seek as a socio-economic challenge to create more middle class and for that matter, to criticize it and, even more so, not to seek public policies that promote their quality of life. The middle classes are city dwellers, and most of the country's cities are in terrible urban conditions. The PRI and its sectors, five large groups of sympathizers and militants gave strength and political cohesion to the Institute, workers, peasants, popular, youth and women's sector. For the subject of the analysis, the popular sector was amalgamated by the poor and middle classes not identified as workers and peasants. During the 70 years in which the PRI governed uninterruptedly plus the six of Enrique Peña Nieto, the majority of the middle classes and the poor lived together and participated as political allies. The popular sector was the largest socio-partisan structure of the other four. From Plutarco Elias Calles, as president of Mexico and founder of the PRI, to date almost 100 years have passed and there is no historical record that the former presidents of Mexico PRI PAN have made a marked difference in social classes. In 2018, AMLO obtained 30 million votes that lifted him to presidential victory. They were voters from the poor and middle classes. There is no possibility of arguing that it was only the poor who supported him. The phrase "the poor first" did not exist in his campaign language. The point is, the middle classes were very important for AMLO to be president of the republic. The hard vote. This is usually the name issued by those who are members and permanent sympathizers of a political party, who support it at the polls regardless of the candidates and the government programs or plans they offer to the electorate. It is the electoral base, the most important support of political parties that provides them stability. Hard voting is a basic element to consider in any campaign strategy. Claudia Sheinbaum's focuses on that. He seeks that the beneficiaries, more or less 30 million, of the welfare programs implemented by President AMLO, now constitutional, become hard voters that ensure electoral victory. Hence his proclamation, "The poor first." Middle-class voters are going to be divided between Xochitl Galvez and Jorge Álvarez Maínez. The thing is, Claudia Sheinbaum does not seem to be interested in the middle classes to attract them to her electoral favor. Their indifference seems to be strategic, because to the extent that Xochitl Galvez and Jorge Álvarez become more involved every day in conquering them, the phrase "divide and conquer" becomes evident. As president of Mexico, Claudia Sheinbaum will be obliged to govern without class differentiation. The middle classes are fundamental in the economic and social development of the nation. The country will not be able to continue fighting between the poor versus the middle classes. It will certainly be legal and constitutional. The president of Mexico, elected largely by the poor, López Obrador's policy, however, will require legitimization among the middle classes. Social reconciliation becomes prevailing, or else the street protests will return. Claudia Sheinbaum must keep in mind that AMLO's leadership, which was overwhelmingly imposed in the street social confrontations, is not hers. If the opposition continues in the streets, it could lead to destabilization of the country. The middle classes must be listened to and cared for, even if in this presidential campaign it is only in the greatest interest of the opposition. In 2018, 56 million voted 611,000 people from a nominal list of 89,400,000 citizens. As of February 2024, the nominal list is 99,023,975 citizens, almost 10 million more than in 2018. The challenge in Morena is how to get an important part of the middle classes to vote for Claudia Sheinbaum, when in reality for them President AMLO it is no longer in their spirit and they consider Claudia Sheinbaum as the candidate not of Morena, but of the president, who also repeatedly affirms, "the poor first," a registration with more than 10 million new possible voters, and an offended, empowered, free and brave middle class. Copyright 2024 Grupo Editorial Zara Impresario, all rights reserved. Any opinion expressed in the various contents of this podcast is the responsibility of the person who expresses it and does not necessarily reflect the position of this publishing house.